Welcome back into the program on what has become a rainy Monday afternoon in Central Alabama. Lots to break down from the previous weekend as far as top 25 games go and SEC. It was a very interesting weekend. We have lots to share with you. Thanks for being with us as we begin this week. As always, we will have the full complement of guests coming throughout the week, and it starts tomorrow with the college football professor, and then Robert McElroy will join us on Wednesday, and then David Sears on Friday, and hopefully we'll have some more guests to preview the matchups upcoming this weekend, and there are plenty of them, but we will talk about them in depth. Well, the game of the week was Alabama and Arkansas. We'll waste no time getting started. It was all Alabama. A 38-14 victory in that game left no doubt that the Crimson Tide are serious contenders for the national title this year. Now, of course, they will travel to Florida this upcoming weekend, so perhaps a big-time test there that could cause the Crimson Tide to stumble. But A.J. McCarron, brilliant day for him. He was 15-20 for 200 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. And then Trent Richardson, who we have not heard a whole lot from so far this year, he carried the ball 17 times and caught the ball three times for 126 yards on the ground and 85 through the air. So a really nice day for him. Tyler Wilson for Arkansas, who I was wondering about how he would play on the road. He was 22 of 35 for 185 yards, two touchdowns, and one was a very nice touchdown pass into the back of the end zone. The problem, though, for him on the day was he threw one interception, and it was a big one. It was returned by Alabama's defense for a touchdown, and in that game, that before the half, that interception return for a touchdown was a huge momentum swing in favor of Alabama. And so if you're Tyler Wilson, it wasn't necessarily a bad pass, although I don't know who he was throwing to, but it hit an Alabama player and bounced up in the air, and it was picked off and returned for a touchdown. And so that was really the crucial bad play of the day for Tyler Wilson. Other than that, he really didn't have too bad of a day. But other than that, it was all Alabama. The total stats really were not that one-sided. I think it was a pretty balanced game. It came out in favor of the Crimson Tide in a big way, 38-14. Other top 25 scores this weekend, Michigan had no problem with San Diego State. And the interesting thing about that game, it was Brady Hoke's former team, of course, San Diego State. In that one, Georgia Tech 35-28 over North Carolina. Illinois had a 23-20 victory over Western Michigan. Wow, a little struggle there for the Illini as they're in the top 25 firmly now. Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. Now, this was a game that we all pointed to as being a big one, and it was. And in fact, in the first half, I was really surprised at how well Texas A&M's defense was playing. I mean, they were locking down Oklahoma State in many respects, but at the end of the day, in the second half, when it was crunch time, Brandon Weeden, the brilliant quarterback for Oklahoma State, came through, and he shined very well for the Cowboys as they got the win. He was 47 of 60 for 438 yards with two touchdowns, and most importantly, no interceptions for him on the day. And it just seemed at the end of that game like Texas A&M just gave it to them and Oklahoma State took it. It just didn't look to me like Texas A&M was fighting toward the end of that game. I do want to announce that yesterday the SEC sent out the release that Texas A&M has been unanimously approved as its 13th member, so it is official now that Texas A&M is part of the SEC. And do we want Texas A&M now that they gave that performance over the weekend on Oklahoma State? I mean, they had the game won. They were up by several scores and allowed Oklahoma State in that second half to come back, led by Brandon Weeden, and beat them. But let's not take anything away from the Cowboys. They are a very good team this year, and they will be a force to be reckoned with down the road. And you look at that game against Oklahoma at the end of the year. That could be a you don't have the Big 12 championship game anymore, so that could be the game that decides the Big 12 in a lot of ways. So a lot of people looking forward to that. But as I said, Brandon Weeden, a brilliant day, and Oklahoma State is the victor over Texas A&M, and Texas A&M gets their first loss of the season. Now I bet they want to go ahead and start looking toward that SEC. But I got to tell you, Texas A&M fans, it's not any easier in the SEC. Ask any of these teams who play the gauntlet that they play. It's not like you're coming to a conference where you get to play a bunch of Baylors and Kansas States every week. You have to play good teams. And then they play a little differently than Oklahoma State, too, in the SEC. But a nice win, anyway, for OSU. Wisconsin, with a nice win over South Dakota, 59-10. Virginia Tech, a 30-10 victory over Marshall. Baylor, no problem with Rice. South Florida, nice 52-24 victory over UTEP. Florida, wow, impressive stuff. And I know Kentucky was never considered good the moment they stepped on the field and started struggling with Western Kentucky the first week. And I posed the question last week, would they be too caught up in looking ahead to the Alabama and the LSU games and forget about Kentucky? That wasn't the case at all. Very, very impressive 48-10 win for Florida on the road against Kentucky. And, then of course, they will come home this weekend to play Alabama and then go to Baton Rouge next week and then go to Jordan-Hare Stadium the week after that. So Florida doesn't exactly have it easy the next few weeks, but they get a nice and much-needed victory over Kentucky. And these next 3 weeks, we will find out whether Florida is a real contender this year. How about the other team in the East? South Carolina, now improving to 4-0, I should say, after the victory over Vanderbilt. They struggled with East Carolina. They struggled with Navy. They had to come back in the waning moments to beat Georgia. But they get the 18-point victory over Vanderbilt with no problem, it seemed. And, you know, South Carolina's weakness is Stephen Garcia. There's no question about that. And that's why I thought Vanderbilt would have a chance to win this game. And they did, by the way, because Stephen Garcia threw 4 interceptions. So Vanderbilt had a lot of chances to win this game. The problem for Vanderbilt was this. They couldn't move the ball. And South Carolina's defense, I don't think, is getting enough credit. I mean, you have Melvin Ingram back there for the second time this year being all-world for the Gamecocks. And don't forget about Jadeveon Clowney, who made a number of plays in the game Saturday. So South Carolina's defense, I think, is what's carrying the team. And just Stephen Garcia will continue to have his issues. He's not going to be radically improving in the next couple weeks. But they can almost avert impending disaster because their defense is able to lock down opposing offenses so well. That's what we've seen to this point. Now, they will have an interesting test as they go home, as they stay home now and play Auburn. And Auburn, you know, of course, brings Gus Malzahn's offense, which didn't exactly have a great game against Florida Atlantic, according to Gene Chizik, anyway. But that is going to be interesting to see how South Carolina's defense handles that Auburn offense, and if Stephen Garcia can play well against Auburn's defense. Because, let's be honest, if there's any defense you can play well against, I think it's probably Auburn's. Nebraska with a 38-14 victory over Wyoming. Boise State, 41-21 over Tulsa, and they continue their schedule of just playing a bunch of nobodies. I mean, Boise State is going to just clip along, and they're firmly in the top 10, in some polls the top 5, but they just continue to not play anybody. And the point differential, too, in the Associated Press and the coaches poll, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, between them and that top echelon of teams is really, really large. Moving on now, how about Oklahoma? 38-28 over Missouri. And that's a big win. I mean, if you remember last year, Oklahoma was on a championship run, and they went to Columbia, and the Tigers defeated them. They had rushed the field, and it was the greatest thing ever, and all that kind of stuff. But Missouri was a problem for Oklahoma. I think everybody agreed. I didn't think they would be upset, and they weren't, but it certainly wasn't easy. They were a formidable opponent, and they went into Norman and did that. Landry Jones was 35 of 48 for 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, though. That's interesting. It could be a glaring weakness that Oklahoma may come back to bite Oklahoma later on in the year. I don't know, but it could be. USC was actually defeated by Arizona State 43-22. Now get this. Dennis Erickson, the coach for Arizona State, got a Gatorade bath. I mean, this guy, he's been at the top of the college football mountain before, and he got a Gatorade bath after defeating Lane Kiffin. They did win, though, by 21 points. A very nice victory for the Sun Devils. Oregon with a solid, solid win on the road against Arizona, 56-31. Of course, there was the game that took place in Morgantown, West Virginia. Now, well, I wrote a column that was pretty strong saying that West Virginia should not be allowed in the SEC. But after the performance Saturday night, and I picked them to win, I was fooled. I thought it was more on the LSU just being fatigued from all of their travels that they wouldn't be able to win the game. But they did. 47-21, a very impressive victory for Les Miles and LSU. And they have weathered the month of September 4-0. And I said before the season that that would be a crucial, crucial month for the Tigers. Oregon, Northwest in Arlington, Northwestern State at home, at Mississippi State, at West Virginia. 4-0. You have to hand it to LSU, and they have really raised the bar now that they've won all these big games. How are they when they come back home against Kentucky? How are they when they are at home against Florida? And how do they play on the road against Tennessee, and then they slip up against Auburn later on? So there's a lot still to go for this LSU team. And then not to mention, after that, the off week, and then, of course, the game with Alabama. So, LSU, there's a long way to go. And Jarrett Lee, too, is continuing to impress me. 16 of 28 for 180 yards. 3 touchdowns. And how many interceptions? Everybody's always talking about how he's prone to interceptions. 0 interceptions. Solid, solid performance for LSU, which, I mean, just really took West Virginia to the woodshed on just about every statistic. So, a quality win for LSU, but they got to keep trugging, and they cannot sleep on the Wildcats of Kentucky as they come to Baton Rouge this weekend. Let's check out these polls now. LSU actually eclipsed Oklahoma in the Associated Press poll. They are now number 1. Oklahoma number 2, and Alabama number 3. Those two are really close. Oklahoma and Alabama are. Boise State, 4 in the AP. But like I said, a large, large differential in points, if you care about that, between Alabama and Boise State. Oklahoma State up to 5. Stanford, 6. Wisconsin, 7. I really think Wisconsin may be getting a little bit of disrespect. The problem with them, though, is they haven't played anybody. They really haven't. That will change this weekend, as they are at home against Nebraska, who, by the way, is 8th in the poll, in the AP poll, right behind them. Oregon, 9. South Carolina, 10. Virginia Tech, 11. Florida, 12. Clemson, 13. Well-deserved, after the victory over Florida State. How about that? And Taj Boyd, you have to be impressed with his composure. I mean, the guy is, he was 23 of 37 for 344 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception in the game against Florida State. So, I mean, you have to at least say that Clemson has righted the ship, albeit maybe temporarily. Guess what? They got a big matchup on the road against Virginia Tech this weekend. Florida, as I mentioned, at 12. SEC has 5 teams, and we'll get to them as we run down the list. Texas A&M, 14. This is the AP poll again. Baylor, 15. South Florida, 16. Texas, 17. Sneaking along in there. Arkansas, 18. Michigan, still undefeated, 4-0, at 19. TCU, 20. Georgia Tech, 21. West Virginia, 22. They stayed in. Florida State, 23. Illinois, 24. And Arizona State rounding out the AP poll. In the USA Today poll, it's a little different story. Oklahoma is number 1. And Alabama and LSU, tied with 1,404 points in this poll, are co-number 2. Both of them are tied at number 2. Stanford, 4. Boise State, 5. Oklahoma State, 6. Wisconsin, 7. Nebraska, 8. South Carolina made it into the top 10 at 9. Virginia Tech, 10. Oregon, 11. Florida, 12. Texas A&M, 13. South Florida, 14. Clemson, all the way down at 15. So quite a difference from the AP poll. Baylor, 16. Texas, 17. Arkansas, 18. Michigan, 19. TCU, 20. Georgia Tech, 21. Illinois, 22. West Virginia remained in. So did Florida State. West Virginia, 23. Florida State, 24. And Michigan State at 3-1 sneaks in there at number 25. So this is going to be a blockbuster weekend. And we have much, much to talk about with college football professor Robert McElroy, David Sears, and anybody else this week as we preview week number 5. Listen to these games. Texas A&M, Arkansas. Auburn at South Carolina. Listen to these other games. Now, Michigan State at Ohio State. Important game for the Big Ten. I know both of them have a loss, but important game for the Big Ten. Could decide a lot. Clemson at Virginia Tech. Of course, Alabama at Florida. And how about this? Nebraska at Wisconsin. Isn't that interesting that Nebraska, this is their first year in the Big Ten. This will be their first Big Ten game ever coming up Saturday. It's going to be 7 o'clock on ABC. Primetime. I believe College Game Day is going to be there. First game ever in the Big Ten. Interconference game for Nebraska. And guess what? You get to play the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, good for Nebraska, though. Nebraska continues. They get to play the Wisconsin Badgers. They're like, can we have a do-over? Can we go back to the Big 12 where we played Iowa State and Kansas State? Why do we have to come to this conference where the first game we get to play is on the road in Madison, Wisconsin? And I think you're going to see a lot from Russell Wilson this weekend, too. Russell Wilson is there. But Wisconsin hasn't played anybody yet of any value. No, I don't consider their schedule that good at all, non-conference at all. They are going to be really tested this weekend against Nebraska, and Nebraska vice versa. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/bunsports. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bunsports. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/jacobbun, and you can email the show, me, at sportsbun@gmail.com. Everyone have a nice day. The college football professor will be with us tomorrow. He will be with us. You don't want to miss that. As always, he'll have a great presentation, and we look forward to bringing it to you. Everyone have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.